జయం శుపాద పరమహంస పరివ్రాజకాచార్య అష్టోత్తర సదశ్రీ శ్రీమాన్ అభిచరణ అరవింద భక్తివేదాంత గోస్వామి మహర్షిల ప్రభుపాదకి జయం నృత్యలీలా ప్రవిష్ట విష్ణుపాద పరమహంస పరివ్రాజకాచార్య అష్టోత్తర సదశ్రీ శ్రీమాన్ భక్తి సిద్ధానంద సరస్వతి మహర్షిల ప్రభుపాదకి అనంతకోటి వైష్ణవ వృందకి నామాచార్య శ్రీ హరిదాస్ ఠాకూర్కి రయం సహో శ్రీకృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధార శ్రీవాసాది గౌర భక్త వృందకి శ్రీ శ్రీ రాధాకృష్ణ గోవ గోవినాథ శ్యామగుండ రాధాగుండగిరి గోవర్ధానికి బృందావన ధామ్కి మాయాపూర్ ధామ్కి మధురపురి ధామ్కి జగన్నాథ్పురి ధామ్కి ద్వారకాపురి ధామ్కి గంగమాయికి యమునమాయికి తులసిదేవి భక్తిదేవికి సామవేద భక్త బృందకి గౌరవ ప్రేమానంది ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు ది అసెంబ్లీ డివోటీస్ ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు ది అసెంబ్లీ డివోటీస్ ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు ది అసెంబ్లీ డివోటీస్ ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ శ్రీ 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 గురువేంద్ర శ్రీ గౌరాంగ ఆల్ గ్లోరీ శ్రీ శ్రీల ప్రభుపాద నమామి శుభదాయ కృష్ణ ప్రస్థాయ భూదలేశమే భక్తి వేదాంత స్వామి దినామిని నమస్తే సరస్వదేవం గౌరవాణి ప్రచారిణే నిర్విశేష శూన్యవాది పశ్చాత్య దేశధారిణి ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ ఓం అజ్ఞానతిమిరాంధస్య జ్ఞానాంజనశలాకయ చక్షురుమిళితం యేన తస్మై శ్రీగురవే నమః శ్రీచైతన్యమనోభీష్టాం స్థాపితాం యేన భూతలే స్వయం రూప తదా మహ్యం దదాతి స్వవదాన్నియం వందేహం శ్రీగురు శ్రీయుతాపదకమలం శ్రీగురుం వైష్ణవాంశ్చ శ్రీరూపం సాగ్రజాతం సహగణ రఘునాథాన్వితం తం సజీవం సాద్వైతం సావధూతం పరిజనసహితం కృష్ణచైతన్యదేవం శ్రీరాధాకృష్ణపాదాన్ సహగణలలితాం శ్రీవిశాఖాన్వితం నమో విష్ణుపదాయ కృష్ణప్రస్థాయ భూతలి శ్రీమదే భక్తివేదాంతస్వామిని నామిని నమస్తే సరస్వతీదేవి గౌరవాణి ప్రచారిణే నిర్విశేష శూన్యవాది పాశ్చాత్యదేశధారిణి విష్ణుపదాయ కృష్ణప్రసాయ భూతలి శ్రీమదే భక్తసిద్ధాంత సరస్వతీ నామిని శ్రీవర్షభానవిదేవి దైదాయ ప్రభాతయి కృష్ణ సంబంధ విజ్ఞానం దాయే ప్రభవే నమః మాధుర్యోజ్వల ప్రేమాధ్య శ్రీరూపానుగభక్తిద శ్రీగౌరకరుణాశక్తి విగ్రహాయ నమోస్తుతే నమస్తే గౌరవాణి శ్రీమూర్తయే దీనధారిణి రూపానుగవిరుద్ధావసిద్ధాంతాద్వాంతహారిణి నమో గౌరకిశోరాయ సాక్షాద్ వైరాగ్యమూర్తయే విప్రలంబరసాంభోదే పాదాంబుజాయ నమః నమో భక్తి వినోదాయ సచ్చిదానందనామిని గౌరశక్తిస్వరూపాయ రూపనూగవరాయదే గౌరావిర్భవభూమిస్త్వం నిర్దోష్టా సజ్జనప్రియ వైష్ణవా సార్వభౌమ శ్రీ జగన్నాథాయదే నమః వాంఛకల్పతరుభ్యశ్చ కృపాసింధుభ్యేవ చ పతితానాం పావనేభ్యో వైష్ణవేభ్యో నమో నమః మహావదన్యాయ కృష్ణ ప్రేమ ప్రదాయతే కృష్ణాయ కృష్ణ చైతన్య నామే గౌరత్వశే నమః పంచతత్వాత్మకం కృష్ణం భక్తరూప స్వరూపకం భక్తావతారం భక్తాఖ్యం నమామం భక్తిశాస్త్రియం హే కృష్ణ కరుణా సింధు దీనబంధో జగల్పదే గోపేశ గోపికా కాంద రాధా కాంద నమోస్తుతే తజ్జయనాం సురదోపాంగోర్మమ మందమదేర్గది మత్సర్వస్య పదాంబోజౌ రాధామదనమోహనౌ దివ్యవృందారణ్యకల్పద్రుమాదౌ శ్రీమన్రత్నాకర సింహాసనస్థౌ శ్రీమన్రాధా శ్రీల గోవిందదేవో ప్రేష్టాలిభిః సేవ్యమానౌ స్మరామి శ్రీమన్రాసరసారంభి వంశీ వటతటస్థిత కర్షాన్వేణుస్వనేర్గోభిర్గోపినాథాశ్రియేస్తునా
Tatra Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhana Sude Devi Pranamami Hare Priye Shri Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadhi Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So, last Saturday we were looking at the verse 4, isn't it? Verse 4 in the Ishavanishad. Anejadegam manaso jeviyo naina deva atnuven puramarshad tadhavado anyan atyedi tishta tasmin apodam adarishwa dadhadi. So here you will see that how in the progression in Ishavanishad, starting from Ishavasyamidam sarvam yat kinja jagatyam jagat tena tekteva bunjila maghrada kasya siddhanam. In the first verse in the Ishavanishad, we talked about the what is referred Ishavasyamidam sarvam. That is the state of a person who is in the realized platform. Ishavasyamidam sarvam, and that is the main verse in the Ishavanishad. Ishavasyamidam sarvam. Everything in the creation must be covered by Krishna. Must be covered by Krishna. Only Krishna exists in the creation. Nothing else exists. But due to our conditioning, in other words, what we call as the strength of Maya, as well as our what we today see, we see the world, we don't see Krishna. We don't see Krishna. And Shastram is saying only Krishna exists, world doesn't exist. This is the other way. Shastram says to us, Krishna exists, world doesn't exist. We say only the world exists, Krishna doesn't exist. This is the situation. So, therefore, in the first verse, it says, for those who haven't reached that state, Ishavasyamidam sarvam. First to begin that, understand that everything is to be covered by Krishna. Only Krishna exists, nothing else exists in this creation. Yat kincha jagatyam jagat tena tektvena bunjida maghrida kasya siddhanam. That in that first two lines, it spoke about that state of realization of a realized soul, how he sees this world. And then in the last two lines, tena tektvena bunjida, that this science of enjoying life by giving up. This is on the principle of the Vedic philosophy, that not by accumulating, but by giving up, how to become satisfied, how to become happy in life. That tena tektvena bunjida is the same as a sushupti state, isn't it? Sushupti, we give up and we become happy. Similarly, in the same situation, in Jagrat also, tena tektvena bunjida, that by giving up things, we come to a state of happiness. That is what Krishna is saying, Upanishads are saying to us here. So that is, first verse we discussed that, and then in the second verse it says, those who are not in that state, what they should do. That is the second verse. So, who haven't reached that state, who for whom the world is still real, for them, kurvan neveha karmani jiji vishechadam samaha evam tuinam anyade tosti na karma lipyade nare. He says here that that person should execute karmam in this world, because he is attached to karmam and karmam is still a binding force for him. And if he wants, he should try to live in this world with a desire to execute in the karmam in such a way, na karmam lipyade nare. The karmam should not stick to him. In such a way, he should continue his life. Kurvan neveha karmani. In other words, he should execute such karmam in such a way, based on the Vedic injunctions. That means, he should live in this world in a way which practicing karma yoga, in other words. Karma Yoga should be the key behind that. And if you execute that, one who has, in the first mantram, it talks about the Jnananishta. Jnananishta, that means being situated in the knowledge platform of knowledge. In the second verse, it spoke about Karmanishta, one who is not in the platform of knowledge, rather in the platform of karma. So for him, Karmanishta is spoken in the second verse. So, and after that, the third verse, neither Jnananishta nor Karmanishta. If one is a situation like that, what happens? Asurya namate logam andhena tamasavrda tamste prethyabhi gacchandi ege chalmahano janaha. Upanishad is saying that Asurya namate logam andhena tamasavrda. They will fall into such situations that it will be very difficult to retrieve them back from that. Andhena tamasavrda. Andhena means that coverage gets stronger. Coverage of darkness around the soul gets stronger. That very difficult to break out from that. Break away from that. That's what he's saying. Asurya namade loga andhena tamasavrda. Andhena tamasavrda. Andhada. A kind of blindness develops in a person. It is impossible to free oneself from that state. Andhena tamasavrda. Tamstam prethyabhi gacchandi ege chatma jano jana. So, and he will have to continue the cycle of birth and death, and that includes the demigods also. Devadas also are included in that, because knowledge of the soul hasn't developed yet in them. They are not endeavoring for perfection. Perfection means self-realization. That is perfection. Perfection is self-realization. That's not happening, and therefore they are still Asurya Namate Loga. They are also categorized along with the Asuras. Demigods also are categorized with the Asuras, because they are also not endeavoring for perfection. They also want to have what they live a life which is based on morality and all principles. But because they are not inquiring after the soul, they are still categorized with the Asuras. Asurya Namade Loga Andhena Tamasavrada Tamsam Prethyabhi Gacchandi Keja Almahanujana. They are all killers of the soul, it says here. Killers of the soul in the sense that self has got this nature. What is that? Ajaratvam. Ajaratvam Amaratvam. In other words, Ajaratvam means Jara should not happen. Old age, disease, death, these things are for the body, not for the soul. And till we reach that state of the knowledge of the soul, self-realization happens, we will continue to get exposed to these things, isn't it? So, knowledge of the problems of old age, disease and death. So Upanishad is saying to us, because they are also not looking for perfection, escaping from the cycle of birth and death, including the demigods, they are also not looking for that. Therefore, they are also categorized with the Asurya Namate Loga. So, avidya. Avidya means the ignorance of our spiritual identity. In other words, if we don't take notice of that and look for perfection in spiritual life, perfection is this, that we have to live outside this bodily identity and come to the platform of the soul. That's not happening. Therefore, all of them are killers of the soul. All of them are killers of the soul. That is why Upanishads are very strong on that point. Anyone, after coming to spiritual life and not looking for self-realization or coming to the platform of the soul to realize their own identity, is not actually situated in spiritual life. That's the verdict from the Shastra. Anyone, after coming to spiritual life, if he is not looking for finding out what the truth is, what's my identity is, who I am, that question is not inquiry, doesn't happen. If it doesn't happen, then that person's spiritual life is all bogus as far as Shastram is concerned. It may go on in this world in some form, but ultimately it's not getting to the point where it should go to. That is the main thing. That is a very important point, that Krishna also says the same thing in a different way in the Bhagavad Gita, isn't it? Vyavasaya Almiya Buddhi Ekeha Kurunandanam. That Vyavasaya Almiya Buddhi is this, that this body has been given to us for self-realization. If it doesn't happen, anything else what is done with this body is all tatakyam, 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 tatakyam. What is the use? What is the use? What is the use? What is the use? That's what it says. So, perfection or the goal is more important than the process. Goal is important. And when that goal is not decided, then there is all kinds of distractions coming from there. So after that, Krishna is saying, Upanishads are saying, Anejadegam manaso jeviyo naina deva apnuval puram arshad. Tadhavado anyana tyedi tishta tasmin nabo madarishwa dadhadi. So there, what is spoken about is that the the soul, who is unchangeable, qualities of the soul is unchangeable. It has no change. Nothing happens with the soul. And he is present in every living entity. At the same time, he is more powerful than even the mind. More powerful than the mind. And why is our soul is more powerful than the mind? Because he is present everywhere. That's why. Mind has to travel from one point to another. It takes time. Although it's the highest speed mind has. But faster than the mind is the soul because of its presence everywhere. So, the reason is that the traveling of the soul the traveling of the mind is fast enough that we can see that when the mind thinks about something, say from the heavenly planets or the Brahmalokams, Lord Brahma's planet, even there for the mind to reach that point, it takes time. But soul, which is present everywhere, is capable of knowing that much quicker than the mind. Although Bhagavad Gita is saying that senses are not able to comprehend the truth. Senses cannot comprehend the truth. Reason why the senses cannot comprehend the truth is between the senses and the soul, there is this strong shutter called the mind. The mind exists between the senses and the soul. And this strong shutter called this mind exists in between the two. Therefore, it cannot understand, it cannot grasp the soul in anyone. It cannot see the soul in anyone. So, and the soul, therefore, the soul travels faster than the mind. Soul travels faster than the mind. So, and it is present everywhere, sarvavyapi, omnipresent, isn't it? So, therefore, it is cited in that verse, it says that soul has reached the destination before the mind. Taddhavado anyena deti tishta tasmin nabo madarishwa dadhadi. Madarishwa dadhadi. So, and staying as it is, the soul is capable of knowing everything what is going on everywhere in the whole creation. Soul is capable of doing that. To knowing everything what goes on in the whole creation, the soul can perceive that, but mind cannot do that. Mind cannot do that. So, after that's what we looked at the last Saturday. And then, so, at the same time we see here, that because the soul is not subjected to any of the problems of material existence, just like birth, death, old age, disease, or the hunger, thirst, lamentation, hankering, and things like that, shadurmi, or all of them, they don't have any impact on the soul. Because they are so, because it is situated like that, all that is happening is in the upadhi, isn't it? These things, birth, death, old age, disease, and hankering, lamentation, hunger, thirst, all these things are happening in the upadhi. It is happening in the body, in the mind, in the intelligence, and things like that. So, therefore, the person who is not realized the truth, he is always experiencing them as his own experience. A person is experiencing as his own experience. And therefore, you can see that because it is like that, whenever mind and the intelligent mind or the senses, when they are trying to capture or came into contact with something, it is unable to reach that because before that the soul gets there into that. The soul gets into that situation. Because by nature, the soul has got the capacity to experience anything, everything from the soul is experience, whereas everything from the senses is perception. That is the difference. Everything from the, therefore, experience is faster than perception. Experience is faster than perception. For example, many things what we experience is coming from the soul, is coming from the soul. All that we perceive is through the senses. That means you can observe yourself. Many things in this world, what you are, through senses, what you are experiencing, the senses requires a mind behind it in order to perceive that, isn't it? Whereas all our experiences like karunyam, mercy, or love, and noble qualities like that, priyam, things like the shanti, peacefulness, all these are qualities from the soul. They are experienced instantaneously. You don't take time to experience that like the mind experienced through the senses. It happens straight away. So there, that is why it is said like that, that the the qualities of the soul is quickly manifested because it's experienced directly. Just like a mother sees the child, mother doesn't think, should I show my affection to the child or not? No, it comes in a very natural process from the mind of the mother. Very quickly it happens, manifests in her. Why does that happen? It comes from the soul. That's why it is. That without any, this is an amazing phenomenon, that the mother's love for the child is something so instantaneous that without any thoughts it comes. So where is it coming from? People may say so many things, but the fact is that whereas when you look into some objects, it takes time for that sense object to register in the mind and to experience that pleasure or the happiness of that particular object to experience, it takes a little time. But faster than that is anything that comes from the soul. So, after saying that, now the next few verses is taken from Bhagavad Gita. There are not exactly the same words, but practically they are the duplication of the verses from Bhagavad Gita in another form. Tade jadi tanne jadi tadure tadandige tadandarasya sarvasya tad sarvasyasya bahyadaha tade jadi tanne jadi tadure tadandige tadandarasya sarvasya tad sarvasyasya bahyadaha. You say, now this is the if you look into Bhagavad Gita in the 13th chapter, you will see where this verse is coming from. That nature, enjoyer and the consciousness. That chapter. Nature, enjoyer and the consciousness. I think it is the 13th. No, it's not. Yeah, it is 13th, isn't it? Yes.
It is,
yeah. 16th verse, if you look, you will see. It's the same verse that's coming in a different way. So, Ishopanishad is saying, tadejadi tannejadi taddure tadvandige tadandarasya sarvasya tad sarvasyasya bahyada. It says here, that thing, referring to the soul, it moves, but it doesn't move. These are Upanishad's way of presenting the truth. It is far, far away, but it is very close to you. It's so far, but it is very close at the same time. And it is in every inside of everybody, and at the same time, it's outside. This is that verse saying, tad ejadi tan ejadi tad dure tad andige tad andarasya sarvasya tad sarvasyasya bahyada. That's all. That's all it says. That's all the Upanishad says. Then, then this soul is moving, but at the same time, it's not moving. It's not moving. Although it is not moving, it appears as though it's moving. It appears as though it's moving. Isn't it? It appears as though moving. You can see, the soul, there is nowhere where soul is not present. There is not present. Best example, when Rahugana and Jadabharata met, if you see in the Bhagavatam, Jadabharata and Rahugana met each other. And what did Rahugana do? Rahugana was going to see Kavila Maharshi. He's a very learned person, Rahugana. While going to see Kavila Maharshi, he wanted meet Kavila Maharshi and take instructions from him in spiritual life. So, but he had one problem. He was very much in the bodily concept of life. Who? Rahugana. He has studied Shastram, but he is not free from the problem yet. There are many people in this world in that situation. Most of us are even studied them, but still the problem has not gone away from inside. So, Rahugana's men, he had three carriers who were carrying the palanquin in which Rahugana was traveling. So, they were looking for someone to support the fourth place. There are four people you need, two in the front, two at the back, to carry that. So, they were looking for the fourth person and they found our Bharada, Jada Bharada. And they brought him and told him, carry that, they said to him. King is saying, isn't it? King's men have come. So if you don't carry, but he didn't bother. Whatever he has been told, he will do it. He just took it on the shoulder. So four of them were walking, and even though they had four people, the palanquin was not very balanced. He was feeling that something is not right. The carriers are not carrying it properly. So he opened the window of the palanquin and looked at it, and he said, what's going wrong? So the three people complained that this fourth man we have got is not properly doing his job. We have told him, but he is not listening, he is not doing it properly. Rahugana stops there, his palanquin, and starts firing him, telling him that, do you know who I am? And do you know what will be the punishment? This, that and the other. There's a lot of things in the Bhagavatam spoken at that time. So there's one thing he says, Rahugana, says to Bharata, that you know I have to go a long distance to travel. I have to go a long distance to reach Kavila Maharshi's ashram. If you don't walk properly, I won't get there. It's going to take a lot of time and I have to be there. And so he says, Jadabharata's answer is, I don't know where to go because I am present everywhere. From which point to which point should I go? He says. That is that thing. That is the nature of the one in the realized state in Jahugana. If Jadabharata is saying that if I have to go from here, point A to point B, I should be in point A only, not in point B. Only then I can go from point A to point B. But I am present in point A and point B, so where should I go? What is the distance I have to cover? He is asking back. So what will you answer when somebody says like this? Jadabharata said like this. It is in the Bhagavatam, you will see there. His answer was like this. If I have to travel from A to B, I should be in A only, not in point B. But I am present in A, I am present in B as well. This is a very advanced state of realization. It is not for ordinary people, but advanced state of realization. This will happen. We think that America is far away, or Europe is far away, Africa is far away, India is far away. No, they are all here in us. In us. In our conditioned state, we think, because we only know the world what we see through the senses. That is the problem. That because we see everything through the senses, got used to senses, we take it like this, oh, it's an 8 hours flight or 5,000 miles away. We say like that, isn't it? But actually, where is America? America is right here, inside us. Alokya idi lokaha. World is seen according to what you see from inside. It is in the manifested in the soul, all these things, isn't it? Soul's manifestation is America. Soul's manifestation is Europe. Soul's manifestation is India. So when we have come to the platform of the soul, all these things are present inside that person. When Ramana Maharshi was in the ashram, many, many people came to him asking him to come to America. He says, where is America? America is here right now. Where do I go? That was his reply. So you can see this. Many cases, this was the realization of the person. And that is what is coming from this Upanishad. Is saying to us that it is, actually it is moving, but it's not moving. for ordinary people, ordinary mundane people like us, we are moving all the time. So we say that person is moving, that soul is moving, this soul is moving. We see it like that. But actually, the soul is not moving. The soul is present everywhere. That's why it is spoken in this way. It's moving, at the same time it's not moving. In one instance, you are right in saying that it is moving. Because every time one living entity is moving from one point to another, he is moving. So he is moving. But on the other hand, he is not moving because he is present everywhere. In the absolute state, he is present everywhere. That's why he says here that you can see that and in one sense it's like that. In other sense, you can also see that this realization of the soul cannot be realized, the self-realization cannot happen for those who are ignorant, and for them it is too far. That is that statement. You see that? Two things he has spoken there, isn't it? In one sense he says, tad dure tad andige. One, it is so far for those who are ignorant of spiritual life, or who has not inquiring about self-realization, for him, soul is very, very far. You can travel millions of years, you won't get there. In other words, you can go through so many lifetimes and you won't still be there. That is taddure. But for those who have accepted the truth and who are in the process of self-realization, taddige is right there inside. Is it not? That's what that statement is coming from. Taddure tadandige. He is so far for those who have not taken up self-realization. For them, it is so far. And for realized souls or who are in the spiritual process of self-realization, he is the closest than anybody else. Is it not? Nobody is more closer to you than your own soul. For your own soul. So those who are in the process of self-realization, for them he is the closest. And for those who are not into spiritual life or inquiring of the truth, who are in the caught up in the cycle of birth and death, for them it's very, very far. That's why tad dure tad andige, that statement coming from. Tad ejadi tan ejadi tad dure tad andige. Tad ejadi tan ejadi. That is moving, and at the same time it's not moving. It's not moving. And it is so far, and at the same time it's very close as well. Tad andarasya sarvasya. He is inside of everybody, but tad sarvasya asyasya bahyada. At the same time, he is outside of everybody. He is outside of everybody. Inside everyone and outside everyone. Why is that? Inside he is present as Antaryami in everyone, super soul. He is present in everybody as a soul as well. And outside, at the same time, he is present in all the living entities in the different names and forms. Namarupam. Namarupam, every living entity, charam, acharam. Charam means moving, acharam means non-moving. Which is just like trees are non-moving, isn't it? Charam is charam is moving, like birds, human beings and animals, they're all in a position to move. So they are present outside also, and they are present inside. He is present inside also. Soul is present inside also. Because it is the most subtle thing. It's the most subtle thing. And he is present inside, outside like a sky. Soul is present in everyone. And because if you say that it's only inside and outside, no, it's also in the middle. It's also in the middle. I am Atma Sarvandaram and Pratyana Ghanam Brahma. And Shruti says like that. So it is the same words. When we discuss that chapter, 13th chapter, we'll go through that verse a lot more in detail. But practically you can see, Behir andascha bhudanam acharam charam evava sushmatva tad avijnayam durastam cha antikecha tat. That is the verse in the Bhagavad Gita. Behir andascha bhudanam acharam charam evava sushmatva tad avijnayam durastam cha antikecha tat. That is that verse which has come here. Tadejadi tannejadi tadvure tadvandige tadandarasya sarvasya tad sarvasyasya bahyada. Look at the Bhagavad Gita verses. The Supreme Truth exists both internally and externally, in the moving and non-moving. It is beyond the power of the material senses to see or to know. Although far, far away, He is also near to all. He is also near to all. Durastam chandige chatat. So, there you can see that the Upanishad's influence on the Bhagavad Gita in all these things. And so, after that, the next verse also from Bhagavad Gita. Yastu sarvani bhudani atmanyeva anupashyati sarva bhudeshu jatmanam tatona vijugupsade. If we study Bhagavad Gita very well, then even Ishopanishad is not necessary, because Bhagavad Gita is so well brought together, the knowledge from the Vedam, from the Upanishads, from Puranas, and from Sankhyam, Yogam, everything completely brought together as a fine package in the Krishna's Bhagavad Gita. So, yastu sarvani bhudani atmanyeva anupashyati sarva bhudeshu jatmanam tato na vijugupsade. It says here. So, here you can see, Upanishad says, that yastu sarvani bhudani atmanyeva anupashyati ya tu, that means whoever, that means a person who is mumukshu, who is looking for liberation, real self-realization. Sarvani bhudani means that in all living entities, whether it's moving or non-moving, whatever it may be, atmanyeva anupashyati, if you see all of them in the soul, inside the soul, and not different from the soul, sarva bhudeshu, and seeing them as the soul of all the living entity. Same thing in the Bhagavad Gita, same thing in the Bhagavatam also. Bhagavatam, what does it say? Sarva bhudeshu ya pashed bhagavad bhavam atmani bhudani bhagavatyesha savai bhagavato uttamaha. That there, in Bhagavatam, and it says it will talk like a devotee. In Bhagavad Gita, it talks like a Upanishads, it will talk like a jnani. Krishna has brought both into Bhagavad Gita. So there is practically, you can see, same thing what Bhagavad Gita is saying, Krishna is saying, his Upanishads are saying, Bhagavatam is also saying. Sudeva Goswami also says there. Sarva bhudeshu ya pashyet bhagavad bhavam atmani bhudani bhagavatyesha savai bhagavadottama. First class devotees realization is that. Sarva bhudeshu, all living entities, ya pashyet bhagavad bhavam. They are all present in the soul. And bhudani bhagavatyesha, in all living entities, Buddha, Krishna is present, soul is present. Both. All living entities are present in the soul, and soul is present in all living entities. They are two different things. In one, all the living entities come from the soul. So therefore, without the background of the soul, the living entities have no existence. So that's why sarva bhudeshu ya pashyet. He is only seeing that tatvam, that brahmam, that atma in everyone. Sarva bhudeshu ya pashyet bhagavad bhavam atmana. What is the other one? Bhudani bhagavati esha savai bhagavadottama. He is also seeing all these living entities are nothing but Krishna, so he offers their respects to him. Kamvayu magnim salilam mahimja. You know that verse? That earth, water, air, sky, everywhere the realized soul sees Krishna. So, the same thing Upanishad is also saying, yasa sarvani bhudani atmanyeva anupashyati. And sarva bhudeshu jatmanam tato na vijugupsati. Then he sees sarva bhudeshu, in all living entities, he sees them as the soul there. He sees them as the soul. And atmanam cha anupashyati. Atmanam cha anupashyati. That he sees himself as the soul, and he sees others also as the soul. Because he is seeing like that, na vijugupsate. He will not see any difference there. Vijugupsate means that he will not speak anything in a offensive way towards anything in this creation. Because he has reached that state of realization, for him there is no difference between him and that object, whatever it may be in this creation. So any sannyasi who is looking for liberation from this world, he has to see this, all living entities within himself, and cannot see anything which is outside the soul. He has to see everything as the presence of the soul, and see himself as the soul which is present in everybody, because his vision is like that. He would not speak in a insulting or offensive way to anyone or anything. So what does that mean? Because this material body is functioning because of the presence of the soul, isn't it? And it is due to the presence of the soul we identify with this body, due to the presence of the soul. The body wasn't there, soul wasn't there, this identification wouldn't have happened with the body, isn't it? So for this body also, the cause of its existence is the soul. Cause of its existence is the soul. And it is only due to the presence of the soul that we find some truth in this body. Some reality in this body is only because of the presence of the soul. Karyakarana Sanghadam, it's called. Karyakarana Sanghadam. So, Deham, material body, is due to the presence of the soul. Inside, there feels some reality in this body, and we feel some consciousness or identification also with this body. So, but we know from the Shastram that the soul inside, he has nothing to do with it. It is just by his presence all this happens. Just by his presence alone, everything is happening. But because he is present there, and he is not interested what's going on in this body, he has no interest whatsoever in the fact is what going on inside this body. But because it is his present there, we feel the experience, all things what we are experiencing, although in avidya, although in ignorance, although it's in avidya, all these things are happening. And therefore, when it comes to realization, what happens is, it comes to understand that the source from where all this awareness is coming, that is the soul, from where all the awareness is happening. So, because he knows that everything that has come in this world is only appearing in this world due to the presence of him, that soul inside, he will not see anything as good or bad in this world. Anything of good or bad in this world. Because for him, good and bad doesn't exist. Because he knows very well, what we call as good and bad is our mind. Based on our own perceptions, we have made this Dvaita Buddhi in us. Dvandvam, duality. So that is where this is coming from. Something is good, something is bad. Someone is a demon, somebody is a devotee. Somebody is a atheist, somebody is a believer. All these kind of perceptions. This is our understanding based on our own mind and our own measurements. But those who have reached that state, such a higher state, for them nothing exists like this. Nothing exists for them. There's nothing good or bad, no demon or devotee. That doesn't exist for them. That is the point it is spoken here. That he will not speak bad about. That is why for Prahlada, Hiranyakashipu didn't exist as a demon. He didn't exist as a demon. Hiranyakashipu, Prahlada was a demon who was not towing the line. Isn't it? He was telling him that you should follow me and you should uphold our values of our family. Hereditary history or all kinds of things, isn't he was talking about. But Prahlada had no interest whatsoever. For Prahlada, there is no such thing called family even. This is all in Hiranyakashipu's head. It's all that. Family, country, or any race or identity with the body, isn't it? So you can see where the problem is. Then if you put a realized soul and a hardcore materialist like Hiranyakashipu together, there is meant to be fight, have to happen. These two different world they live, isn't it? So Hiranyakashipu was saying that he was more concerned about his he has a black spot in our family. He says, Hiranyakashipu says to Prahlada that that in this forest of sandalwood, that's how he compares his own family. In the forest of sandalwood, you have appeared like a weed in that. So strong that identity with the body was. So similarly, here also you can see what Krishna is saying here is that if you are in that state of consciousness, Vedas never says based on the body anything, because how can spiritual literature like Vedic literature, so much concerned about the soul and stresses on the soul and discriminate people on the platform of the body. Can never do that. It is not possible. So if ever we preach Krishna consciousness, we have to speak from the platform of Upanishads, not from the platform of our own social understanding. That will not have any effect. Just like people present Krishna as a Hindu god, blue boy, this, that and the other. That is not Upanishad's conclusion on Krishna. Upanishad has never spoken like that anywhere. So misunderstanding comes, and then because that sickness, that disease in us of identification with the body is so strong, that we start thinking like that, and that permeates in our dealings as well. So here, these Upanishad's verses are so important. Bhagavad Gita is also valuing it so much. Krishna has given so much importance to it. Yastu sarvani bhudani bhudani atmanyeva anupashyati sarva bhudeva cha atmanam tatona vijugupsade, he says. Vijugupsade. Vijugupsade means he will not speak in a ridiculing way about anything in this creation. Anything. Doesn't matter where he comes from, who it is, what it is. Anything, you cannot speak vijugupsade. Na vijugupsade. Never he will speak in a ridiculing way. Why? Because the realization is so high that yasu sarvani karmani, he says, isn't it? Sarvani bhudani atmanyeva anupashyati is also seeing Atma, the soul in them. And sarva bhudeva cha atmanam tatona vijugupsade. Because for him only soul exists. Only Krishna exists. Only Krishna exists. If you understand Krishna like that, then there won't be any problem. But if you start thinking Krishna is only the deity in the temple, only in our temple Krishna is there, not in your temple, he is worshipping somebody else, and all kinds of things we concoct, and that shows the poor understanding. This is Upanishad's understanding. It's like this. That so therefore, once he has come to that platform, he will not offend any other form of worship also from others. Bhagavadam also says that, isn't it? Shraddha Bhagavadam Shastre. The science of Bhagavadam one should understand. Aninda Anyatra Chapihi. No offense or criticism of others. They have been given that state in their particular situations. They doesn't have to feel any criticism about their process of worship. Because that is, Krishna's also behind that. That certain people have that different modes of worship given to them in that way. So that is the same thing. If you look, you will see in the Bhagavad Gita where that is coming from, the same 13th chapter. If you look, three verses has been taken from there in Bhagavad Gita, and that is the same, this verse. 27, 28 and 29. Same chapter. You can see. Yavad sanjayade kinjal satvam sthavara jangamam kshetra kshetrajna samyoga tadvidhi bharadarshabham. Says here that 27th verse, 13th chapter, Yavat Samjayade Kinjit Satum Stavara Jangamam Kshetra Kshetratya Samyoga Tadvidhi Bharadarshabha. O Chief of the Bharata, wherever you are, you see in existence, both moving and non-moving, unmoving, is only the combination of the field of activities and the knower of the field. Field of activities and the knower of the field. So the field is there and the knower is there. And if you look into the next verse also, you will see Samam Sarvesha Bhudeshu Tishtandam Parameshwaram Vinayashat Savinashyandam Yapashyadi Sapashyadi. very important words. Samam sarveshu bhudeshu, in all living entities, tishtandam parameshwaram. Krishna is only present. That is the realization. All living entities, who is present is, what is present is Krishna. Tishtandam parameshwaram. Vinashyasu avinashyantam. Even when the body gets destroyed, avinashyantam, nothing happens to him. And yapashyadi sapashyadi. One who is seeing that, he sees it. He sees properly. One who doesn't see that, just like we look at somebody and see the body outside. And then we say, oh, he is born on a particular day. And then when he come to know, he lost, body has left, he says he died. We say, he's not seeing. Bhagavad Gita is saying that. Bhagavad Gita is saying to us, samam sarveshu bhudeshu. When that self-realization happens, what happens? Samam sarveshu bhudeshu. In all living entities, it's the same thing that is present. Atma. Atma is present in Tishtandam Parameshwaram. He is the Supreme Lord who is present in everybody. Supreme Lord is present in everybody. And Vinashyastu Avinashyastum. Avinashyandam. Although you see the destruction happening, but inside there is no destruction. That there is no destruction for the soul, isn't it? Vinashyas avinashyantam ya pashyadi sa pashyadi. Now, here you will see Prabhupada mentions there, one who sees the super soul accompanying the individual soul in all bodies, who understands that neither the soul nor the super soul is ever destroyed, actually sees. Now, in the verse it doesn't say like that exactly. Verse is saying, because if you look at Prabhupada's another commentary later on, if you look into the 7th chapter which we are discussing now, you will see some different statement from another verse. Prabhupada also mentions there. But then why this come to that? That there, there is a statement, Prabhupada mentions there that...
in the 7th chapter, if I did correctly.
7:24.
7:24. No, not 24. No. There is another verse which I think it is in the 7th chapter. Or in the 8th chapter, I'm not sure. Yeah, it's in the 18th chapter. If you look at that verse, talking about the mode of goodness, knowledge in the mode of goodness, that's where it's coming from. Knowledge in the mode of goodness. I think it is in the 18th chapter. Where Prabhupada mentions that, yeah. If you look at verse 20, you will see, Sarva bhudeshu yenekam bhavam avyam ikshade avibhaktam vibhakteshu tatjnanam viddhi sattvikam. There is a verse there. Sarva bhudeshu yenekam bhavam avyam ikshade avibhaktam vibhakteshu tatjnanam viddhi sattvikam. If you look into read into that verse, translation and commentary, that knowledge by which one undivided spiritual nature is seen in all existence, undivided in the divided, is knowledge in the mode of goodness. A person who sees one spirit soul in every living being, whether a demigod, human being, animal, bird, beast, aquatic or plant possesses knowledge in the mode of goodness. In all living entities, one spirit soul is there. Although they have different bodies in terms of their previous work. As described in the 7th chapter, the manifestation of the living force in everybody is due to the superior nature of the Supreme Lord. Thus, to see that one superior nature, that living force in everybody, is to see in the mode of goodness. The living energy is imperishable, although the bodies are perishable. That living energy is imperishable, although the bodies are perishable. The difference is perceived in terms of the body, because there are many forms of material existence in conditioned life. Therefore, they appear to be divided. Such impersonal knowledge finally leads to self-realization. So, when we study Bhagavad Gita, you will see there, Dvaitam is there, Advaitam is also there. And both are coming. In one place you will see a statement like this, and in another place you will also see, like in the 13th chapter you saw, that the, you will see there, in the 13th chapter, what we are looking at, 27th verse, yes. Samam sarveshu 28. Samam sarveshu bhudeshu tishtandam parameshwaram. Vinayasyasu avinashyandam yapashyadi sapashyadi. Here Prabhupada is saying, one who sees the super soul accompanying the individual soul in all bodies and who understands that neither the soul nor the super soul is ever destroyed actually sees. You can see that difficulty there. Then, so it is to be understood like this, that in the Ajindya Bheda Vedam, where acceptance of oneness and acceptance of duality, Dvaitam and Advaitam both are present in that, that the Krishna is saying, Avibhaktam Trishtandam Parameshwaram, one who sees the soul, it is from which state you are looking at the truth. This is where it comes to. In the beginning, everyone is in the state of Dvaitam. Duality will be there. But you can also see when Krishna is saying that in that higher state of self-realization, in a so advanced state, for a person, there is only soul exist. And there is no breakup of the soul for him. There is no breakup of the soul. It doesn't come. But nobody will have that realization in the beginning. In the beginning, it's always everything separate, because we are in the very much in the bodily concept of life. Now, this principle is throughout Bhagavad Gita. When you go through every chapter, we'll see later that how this affects the way Arjuna's questions came and how Krishna has answered those questions. If you go in deeply into that, you will see Arjuna's questions from one level. Krishna's answer is from another level. So here also you can see this verse is very much the Upanishad's verse. What Krishna says here is, Samam sarveshu bhudeshu tishtandam parameshwaram vinashyatsu avinashyandam yapashyati sapashyati. All Krishna is saying there is that Samam sarveshu bhudeshu tishtandam parameshwaram. In all living entities, Krishna is present. Parameshwara is present there as the soul. And vinashyatsu avinashyandam, what he is saying, when the body is getting destroyed, that inside that person, Antaryami is not destroyed. Avinashyandam. Vinashyatsu avinashyandam. And one who is seeing that, yapashyati sapashyati. One who is seeing that, he is seeing it properly. That's what Bhagavad Gita is saying. And that's the same thing here also. If you look into the next verse, you will see. Samam pashyan hi sarvatra. Samam astidam ishwaram. Nahi nashyanti alpan atmanam tato yadi parangadim. So, see, samam pashyan hi sarvatra, samavastitam ishwaram. Samam pashyan hi sarvatra, one who sees samavastitam ishwaram, Krishna present in all living entities, equally present. Equally. It can be only equal if it is Krishna.
If it is Jiva, it cannot be equal. Isn't it? Jiva has got conditioning. So naturally in Jiva state, we are all different. We are all different. And Jiva is nothing but false ego. Inside is the Jiva. So when false ego goes away, you can see Samampashyanhi Sarvatra. When the false ego is completely destroyed inside, then only this realization will come. That's why it says here, Samampashyanhi Sarvatra Samavastidam Ishwaram, equally in everyone. He says here that everywhere does not degrade himself by his mind, that thus he approaches the transcendental destination. Tadoyadi parangadim. He reaches the final destination. So these three verses, 27, 28 and 29, is this Upanishad's verse in the Ishopanishad. That is, Yastu sarvani bhudhani almanyeva anupashyati sarvabhudeshu jalpmanam tadona vijugupsade. The spirit of these three verses is in this verse. Is in this verse. There is no, absolutely no difference between the Ishopanishad Bhagavad Gita verses and the Ishopanishad's verse. Then, Yastu sarvani bhudani, in all living entities, Atmanyeva anupashyati. Atmanyeva anupashyati. Only the soul exists. Only the soul exists. Exactly, Krishna says, Yamam sarveshu bhudeshu tishtandam parameshwaram. Or samam pashyanhi sarvatra samavastitam ishwaram. All these are same thing, what Upanishad is saying here. Sarvabhudeshu jalpmanam tadona vijugupsade. Once he has reached that state, sarvabhudeshu jalpmanam, the state, presence of the soul is realized in everyone, tadona vijugupsade. He will never ridicule anything or speak in a way which will in any way criticize another person or glorify another person. Krishna says like that. You should never, in that state, parasobhava krammani ya prashamsadi ya nindadi. There is no need to glorify or there is no need to criticize anyone for that. Why? Because once you do that, sa ashubhrashyade, immediately you fall from the truth. One who has reached that state, we can criticize because we are not in that state, so it is okay. But for those who are in that state, they will not do that. Why? Parasubhava karmani. Others, karmam, subhavam and all that. That parasubhava karmani, ya prashamsadi, ya nindadi. Because as far as they are concerned, parasubhava karmani, prakritya purushenacha, prakriti vishwam egalmagam pashyan. Vishwam egalmagam. In this world, there is only one thing, soul, nothing else. That egalmagam, that realization, prakritya purushenaja, which Sanghyam calls the prakriti and purusham, even that is two. Prakriti, purusham, two things exist. But actually, there is only one thing. Parasubhava karmani. That's for, therefore one shouldn't, of course Krishna is talking from the very highest level, that is spoken. Highest realization state. And that is, that state is also spoken here. That what Krishna says in the Bhagavadam. So Deva Goswami mentioned, Krishna says this to Uddhava. That in that state, there is no other thing, only that thing exists. So that is that verse. We will discuss all this because these verses, when it comes to Bhagavad Gita, there's a lot more to discuss when we discuss that 13th chapter. Then after saying that, the same thing is spoken in another mantra, in the next mantra, which is the 7th mantra. Yasmin sarvani bhudani almeva bhudya janada tatrako moha kashogaha egatvam anubhashyadaha. Yasmin sarvani bhudani almeva bhudvijanada tatrako moha kashoga egatvam anubhashyadaha. Upanishad is saying, Yasmin sarvani bhudani almeva bhud vijanada. And in the soul, sarvani bhudani, in all living entities, all living entities are present in whom? The soul. And who knows that vastu? Vastu means the soul, who knows that soul, and who is present as the soul of everyone else. Everyone else, in other words, the same thing. Bhagavatam says, Sarva Bhudeshu Yapashed Bhagavad Bhava Malmana Bhudani Bhagavad Yesha. Two things. Sarva Bhudeshu Yapashed Bhagavad Bhava Malmana. He is saying that in all living entities, Krishna is present. Krishna is present. All living entities are present in Krishna. When we say Krishna, the soul. Krishna, the soul. Krishna, Brahmedi, Paramatmedi, Bhagavan. It's one substance, is one. In three ways it's addressed. That's all. Devotees will address as Bhagavan. Jnanis will address as Brahman. Yogis will call it as Paramatma. Substance is one. That we must not forget. Vadandida tattvavidam tattvam yat jnanam advayam. Yat jnanam advayam. Advayam. There is no second thing there. It's only one thing. And one thing is perceived in three addressed. How does it say? The verse is Brahmedi Paramatmedi Bhagavan iti Shabdyade. Shabdyade means it's addressed like that in three different names. Vastu is one. In three different names it's spoken. That is important thing. Vastu is one. The substance is one. In three different ways it is addressed. Brahmedi Paramatmedi Bhagavan iti Shabdyade. So here, devotee will refer to as Bhagavan, Jnani will address as Brahman, Yogi will call it as Paramatma. But Vastu is one. So that is the same thing coming here now, that the Sarva Bhudeshu Yapashet Bhagavad Bhavam Almana. In all living entities, Bhagavad Bhavam. That's only the soul is present, Brahma. Is present in everyone. Bhudani, all the living entities, Bhudani Bhagavadi Esha. All living entities are present in that soul. Soul is present in all the living entities. Therefore, all living entities are functioning in this world in different ways, whichever species they belong to. But all the living entities are present in the soul only. They are only present in the soul. They are not outside the soul. That's a little difficult thing to understand that, isn't it? One side is easy to understand, that because soul is present in everyone, all the living entities are functioning. But all living entities are present in the soul. In other words, that one thing, that Sutralatma who is present in everyone, it is due to his presence that all living entities are having a relationship with each other. Because only if you say in that way, all living entities are present in the same soul, only then that Sutralatma concept is clear. That it is what is binding all of us and makes it as the one, is due to the presence of the soul, not due to the body, isn't it? So that is what it mentions here, that the Sarva Bhudeshu, Yasmin Sarvani Bhudani Atmaiva Bud Janata, that in all living entities only soul is present. Tatrako Moha Kashokaha. One who has realized that state, for him, where is a question of hankering and lamentation? That's what it is. Kah Moha? Koshoka. And why? Because Ekattvam Anupashyate. He is only seeing that one thing who is present everywhere. He is not seeing the body anymore. Body is not anymore taken. Only that soul is seen. And that is one. That soul is one who is present in everyone. Ekattvam Anupashyate. He says Ekattvam. Oneness is perceived there. So, you can, what we have to understand, hankering, lamentation is due to what? Is due to our avidya, ignorance in us, isn't it? Ajnanam, avidya, whatever that is called as. Due to its presence, we will always experience this problem, hankering and lamentation. It will never leave us. That's why it's called one of the shadurmi, isn't it? The shadurmi is out of the six waves which are attacking us continuously, hunger, thirst, old age, death, all these things, and the hunger, lamentation. These are called shadurmi. As long as we have a material body, the shadurmi will be there. And the shadurmi, as long as they are there, hankering, lamentation will be there. Hankering, lamentation will be there. So here, he says here, once he has gone away from all these things, he has reached that state of sarvani bhudani. He is seeing presence of the soul. Egatvam anubhashyada. He is seeing that. Such a person, ka shokaha, ka mohaha. Where is question of hankering and lamentation? That is what it says there. So, for such a person, in reality, all living entities has become soul already. He is not seeing any more the body, material body, like the we see a body. We see his body like the way we see other bodies. When we see a realized soul, we will see his body just like any other body. When we see. But when he sees other bodies, us, he sees different in his realized state. In his realized state, he will see different. He will only see one thing. What will he see? He will only see soul in everyone. That is his state. He is in that state. It's no point in going and telling him that, look, have we not seen? He says, I'm not able to see. He's only seeing the soul in everyone. And that is the difference between the, that is the change between us and them and the realized state. So, in the soul, there is no hankering, there is no lamentation. Soul is free from all that things, isn't it? And hankering and lamentation is the reason behind, the cause behind our karma, isn't it? From there begins karma. Kami karma begins. Bijam, or the seed, is sown by hankering and lamentation. When we are hankering after something, we spring into action, isn't it? We spring into action. When we spring into action, we will create karma vasana. Karma will begin. Karma vasana will come from that. And that karma vasana means another material body again. Another material body again. But one who has seen the pure nature of the soul, or who is in that transcendental state, for and one who is seeing the oneness of the soul, for him there is no hankering, there is no lamentation either. So those things, hankering and lamentation, comes from what is called avidya. Avidya. It comes from the ignorance. So by doing that, that difference, the difference between material existence and spiritual existence is this realization. Is this realization. So like this, in these last 3-4 verses, you can see. That's why I was saying this before also, that all these verses are in order to emphasize that first verse, Ishavasimidam Sarvam. These are only to define the soul little bit more in depth than these verses were spoken. You can see this verse, what we have looked at today, verse 5 and verse 6. And verse 7, practically they're all talking about that self-realized personality, who's seeing that oneness of the soul in everything, nothing else. So, tadejadi, verse 5, tadejadi tannejadi, taddure tvadandige, tadandarasya sarvasya, tad sarvasyasya bahyada. That's one. Then, yastu sarvani bodhani, atmanyeva anubhashyati, sarva bhudeshu atmanam tadona vijugupsade. That one. And this last one. Yasmin sarvani bhudani atmaiva buddhi janada tatrako moha ka shokaha egatvam anubhashyati. So from 3 different levels, Krishna has spoken about that soul. After saying that, next verse, Upanishads are saying that what is then the nature of the soul? In all the other verses, we have seen that it has spoken that the soul has no impact from any of these things. Hankering, lamentation, desire, attachment, and any such thing doesn't happen in the soul. But in its pure form, what are the symptoms of the soul? That's what is spoken in the next verse. That is verse number 8. Says here, Sabaryaga chukramamaya uvranam asna viram shuddham abhava vidham kavirmanishar paribhu swayambhu yatha tadhyado arthan vedadha chashwadibhya samabhyaha. That sabaryaga chukramamaya uvranam asna viram shuddham abhava vidham kavirmanishar paribhu swayambhu
యాథా తధ్యదో అర్థాన్ వ్యాధథ ప్యచశ్వదీభ్యః సమాభ్యః. దట్ సహ దట్ సోల్ విచ్ వాస్ స్పోకన్ బిఫోర్ పర్యగాద్, పర్యగాద్ మీన్స్ అండ్ హీస్ ప్రెసెంట్ ఎవ్రీవేర్, హీస్ ప్రెసెంట్ సర్వగా, సర్వగా మీన్స్ యూ విల్ సీ పర్యగాద్, పర్యగాద్ మీన్స్ సర్వగాద్, సర్వగాద్ మీన్స్ హీస్ ప్రెసెంట్ ఎవ్రీవేర్. When Arjuna asked the question in the 12th chapter to Krishna, Krishna's answer was, if you look into 12th chapter, you will see, about the nature of the soul, Krishna is discussing there. There, if you look there, you will see, verse 3-4, if you look at that, in the 12th chapter. Arjuna came up with the question. In the 12th chapter, you will see in the second verse, Krishna is answering. After seeing the universal form in the 11th chapter, Arjuna got frightened, isn't it? Arjuna got frightened seeing the universal form. So, why did he get frightened? Why did he get frightened? Have you ever thought about that? Krishna is standing there and he is showing the universal form. So is this universal form is only for frightening people, is it? This question will come, isn't it? Why did he get frightened? No, it is. Reason is, Arjuna was taken there. It's just like sometimes you go to a country without passport visa. If you go, the same way Arjuna was brought there in front of this universal form. It was an experience given to Arjuna. It was an experience given to Arjuna. Arjuna was not qualified for that. Before a person is matured, inside realization is not there, Pakoda. If you are exposed to something, you will get frightened. Why? Arjuna is seeing separate from the universal form himself. That is the problem. One, he is also part of the universal form. Krishna's universal form is the whole creation. It's Krishna's universal form. It's not only the picture. Don't go by the picture what that is shown there. The picture is just some artist has thought of something and he put the picture there. That is not Krishna's universal form. If you start thinking, oh, this is all only Krishna's universal form, that's wrong. That's not correct. Everything is Krishna's universal form. Nothing exists outside Krishna. So when you see Krishna in the universal form, it's a different perception, experience altogether. If you have not become one with that universe, you will experience this fear. That's what has happened to Arjuna. Arjuna was seeing, I am separate from that, and I am seeing something different in front of me. But had Arjuna had this realization, self-realization, he would not have felt that fear in him. He wouldn't have experienced that. Because self-realization means what? Everywhere seeing Krishna. Where is the question of fear then? Where is the question of fear then? But because Arjuna was not self-realized, and therefore all the questions also, when he saw this 11th chapter, universal form, he got so frightened. He got so frightened. So immediately what did Arjuna do? Arjuna asked some strange questions in the 12th chapter beginning with. On our behalf. On our behalf. Bhagavad Gita was spoken for us, not for Arjuna. Arjuna was only nimittikritam. That nimittam is kept as a reason, cause behind it. Arjuna, it was spoken to Arjuna, keeping us in mind. That is why all Arjuna's questions will also be from our level. The kind of questions what we will ask, that's the questions Arjuna is asking. Lot of things you can see in Arjuna's questions, if you very carefully look, you will see many questions are our questions. Many questions are our questions. So here what has happened is that Arjuna, as soon as this universal form he saw, Arjuna says, I don't want to see this anymore. Is this any other way? Can I see you? So what Arjuna did straight away, he brought in front of Krishna two options he gave to Krishna. You tell me which one is better than the other. There is no one better than the other in spiritual life. They are all same. Ultimately, when you realize the truth, you will notice this higher, lower things is all completely from our perception.
from a spiritual platform, adhyalpam, there is no higher lower. Higher lower, if it was higher lower, will anybody go for the lower? Will anyone take the lower one if there is a higher lower thing? No. In spiritual platform, there is no higher lower. In our mental platform, there is higher lower. And Arjuna is in that mental platform. That is why he asked that question, which is better. Asked that question itself is irrelevant. In other words, it is meaningless. But you can't blame Arjuna for that. Arjuna is asking on our behalf because we are always looking for the higher one. That is the reason behind that. So here, what did Krishna do? Arjuna do? Arjuna asked Krishna, out of these two, which one is better? Evam sadada yuktaye bhaktasvam parivasade ejapeksharam avyaktam teshange yoga vitama. That is our first question. In other words, this impersonal worship is there, personal worship is there. Which one of them is better, he says? Because whatever is the better, then I'll take that. Who wants to buy the cheaper one? That was Arjuna's question. Like us, exactly like us. So Krishna understood the problem, and Krishna can't speak like that because he is the one who has to answer this and the other one. Both are after him, whether it is this way or that way. So for him, that two things don't exist. So if you study the answers carefully, when we study this 12th chapter, we'll talk about it in detail, you will see that how we perceive Bhagavad Gita from our mind. Remember, I was saying this yesterday also. According to our modes of nature, we will understand something and we'll tell others also it's like this, what's written in the Bhagavad Gita. So therefore, when you study this Bhagavad Gita particularly, the problem is that what is the background in which Krishna has spoken, what's the background in which Arjuna has asked a question, these things are significant. They are very significant. So when Krishna answered the question, Krishna says there that Sri Bhagavan Vajam, he's saying, we are not discussing 12th chapter, I'm coming to this sarvatragam. That verse in the third four, if you look, Krishna is saying there that yetvaktatvaksharam anirdeshyam savyaktam bhairivasade sarvatragam ajindyanja kudastam ajalam dhruvam. Arjuna asked this question that evam satada yuktaye bhaktastvam parivasade echabi aksharam avyaktam teshamke yogavitama. That is the question, Arjuna's question. Arjuna is asking, evam satada yuktaye bhaktastvam parivasade. One who is practicing bhakti, through bhakti who approaches you, bhaktastvam parivasade, or echabi aksharam avyaktam teshamke yogavitama. Or one who is following the process of knowledge. Aksharam avyaktam is the process of knowledge. Aksharam avyaktam. Avyaktam, unmanifested, not known. Platform of the soul, in other words. Is that process is better? Or evam bhaktastvam parivasade, who is a devotee. Even that bhakti, if you understand that, the way Krishna what presents is so different from the way we have understood about it. We have understood bhakti means going to temple, chanting 16 rounds, sitting there in front of the deity, crying for a few hours, telling all our miseries to him and telling him all our desires. If he gives us, he is good. If he doesn't give us, he is bad. And then always in the association of devotees, never going out anywhere. If you go out, you will fall straight away. So we should not go out anywhere. This is our understanding of bhakti. But that is not what Bhagavad Gita is saying. Bhagavad Gita is saying a totally different thing, completely. We'll come to that when we discuss the 12th chapter. What it is here is that, evam satada yuktaye bhaktastvam parivasade, that through bhakti, as Bhagavad Gita explains, that bhakti, one who is approaching me, or ejapi aksharam avyaktam, through that aksharam avyaktam, aksharam avyaktam, which is the soul, avyaktam, soul, teshamke yogavitama, which one is better? This is the question. This is the question. In other words, is the bhakti process better or the jnanam process better? In an indirect way, that is also relevant there. But as you know very well, Krishna says, the best jnani is the best devotee, and the best devotee is the best jnani. So where is the difference? These differences has come because in the state of mind we are, we can only understand in that way, if it is spoken with these differences. Then you will capture one thing at least, if not both. At least capture one thing and then follow in that route. After a long time, following one route, you will come to know that they are all not different. They are all one and the same. It's spoken in different ways. That's why it's so important. So when Arjuna asked that question, Arjuna has used only two adjectives there. Aksharam, avyaktam, for that soul. But what did Krishna do? Krishna added a few more adjectives to the soul in his answer. If you look into the verse 3, Krishna says, etu aksharam anirdesham. There he says, aksharam, anirdesham, avyaktam, sarvatragam, achindyam, kudastam, achalam, dhruvam. 8 adjectives there. Arjuna put 2 adjectives. What was that? Aksharam and avyaktam. And Krishna is answering with 8 adjectives with that. 8 definitions on the soul. With the nature of that, what they are worshipping. He says there, aksharam, anirdesham, avyaktam. Then sarvatragam, achindyam, kudastam, achalam, dhruvam. All that you can see there. We'll discuss when we discuss. What I was coming back to was that this sarvatragam. Sarvatragam means the ability to be present everywhere. He is present everywhere. Sarvatragam. There is no place where he is not there. Can you show a place where Krishna is not present in this creation? But what happens is that when we depend on our understanding that how we have understood Krishna, if you only think that Krishna is present in the temple, nowhere else, and if we develop that way, Bhagavad Gita will be difficult to understand. So it is that thing he begins here, that sabedyaja chukkamagayam avranam asnavidam shuddham apapavidham. That sabedyagad. Sabedyagad means he is present everywhere, like the sky. He is present everywhere. Shukram, and he is pure and always illumination. Akayam, he has no body. He has no body. Avranam, because astavinam, he has no nerves or like we have gross body, doesn't exist in him. And avranam, he doesn't have any injury or doesn't get hurt, nothing happens. Shuddham, he is pure. Apapavidham. Apapavidham means we have in our understanding there is dharmam, adharmam and all that, isn't it? Pious activity, sinful activity and piety and differences for us in this world. For the soul, there is no such thing as apapavidham. Apapavidham means we commit some pious activity, then you acquire piety from that, isn't it? Pious activity results in the form of some pious results from that. Similarly, we commit sinful activity, we get sinful reactions from that. But for the soul, nothing. Apapavidham. He cannot be touched by any of these things. Any of these things, none of them touches the soul. It's all for the subtle body and the gross body. Subtle body and the gross body we experience. Through the mind we experience the misery. With the body we experience the misery. Similarly, on a bodily level we experience the happiness. With the subtle body we experience the happiness. But the soul, completely a witness to everything, what goes on. He is totally independent. And still, after reading all these things, we'll get very busy with the body and so and the mind. Isn't it? We are suffering. Who is suffering? We have to ask that question, isn't it? Every time all these problems comes, that's the question we have to ask. Shuddham. So, abhava vidham. And what else? Kavi. Kavi means he's a witness of everything. Manishi. Manishi means knows everything. He knows everything. Paribhu. Above everything. And Swayambhu. Because that's him. He is always there. He was not born. Unborn he is. Always there. He has no... And Saha, he, that Atma or Ishwara, if I were to address him, Shashwadibhyaha. In other words, eternally, Samabhyaha. And Samabhyaha. that he has, what he has done is that he has, for Prajapati's sake, Prajapati means who have come in the process of creation, for their purpose, he has broken up all this, his oneness into many. Oneness into many. For Prajapati's to increase their, perform their duty. Let's come to that. So that Atma, who is present everywhere like the sky, and who has no bodies, like the gross body or the subtle body or the causal body. None of the three bodies exist for him. For him nothing exists. And he is, does not have any dharmam or adharmam. In other words, religious or irreligious activity, pious activity or sinful activity. For him there is nothing like that. And witness to everything, and he is the controller of everything at the same time. Sarvajna, and he is Ishwara. Ishwarali, every time. Nanyo tosti, and Shruti is the pramanam, authority for that. So, above everything else, and control of everything, it is him. And because Ishwara, he is addressed as Ishwara, he is fully conscious of everything. In him, there is total awareness. So therefore, for the sake of Prajapatis, who are known as Samvatsaram, in order to execute karmam and their results and for their objects, he has broken them up in different forms. Shukram, from beginning with Shukram, Ababa Vidham, Saparyagad, Kavir Manishi, and all these things. That soul itself is Ishwara, the supreme controller. And he is full of Chaitanya, living force inside. Isn't it? Sthula Sushma Karana Shariram. Gross body, subtle body, causal body does not exist in him. And because there is no ignorance in the soul, pious activity and sinful activity won't have anything to do with him. Anything to do with him. And at the same time, he's a witness of everything. And and Prajapatis who are present in this creation process, Prajapatis had come, and Prajapatis have to execute their duty in this world. Prajapati, you know who they are, isn't it? Mariji, Atri, Angiras, Pulasthi, Pulahakrudu, Bhrugu, Vasishta, Dakshascha. Dashamatatra, Narada. Narada is also in that, but Narada did not engage in Prajapati's activity. He stayed away from that. So, in order that Samvatsara Prajapati, who are referred to as Samvatsaram here, that in order that for them to execute their part of duty or their work, Krishna has created this, what is mentioned here is that the this breakup of the soul has happened in this form, in different bodies and different living entities who are present here, who are present here. So here, you will see here one interesting thing. Then, the soul which is beyond this, beyond these identities. Identities means sthula sushma karana shariram, the three types of bodies, and who is beyond three modes of nature, satum, rajas, tamas, goodness, passion and ignorance, and also who is does not execute any pious activity or sinful activity, none of them, and a person who has realized the truth, he also comes to that state. When he realizes the truth, the soul who is present in everyone does not have any of these. Which one? These things what we talked about. Sattvam, Rajas, Tamas, Sthula, Sushma, Karana, Shariram. None of them exist for the soul. When we realize the self, when we realize the truth, what happens? We also get to that same state. Because we have become then one with that truth. One with that truth. So, in that state, there is no miseries of the material world, what we exist, experience today. So, that Paramatma or Brahman, whatever way we address, or Ishwara, Bhagavan, whichever we call it, that although it does not have any connection with the gross level objects of this world on a gross level. On a gross level, he has no relationship with this world. Even though it is like that, but because he is fully conscious and fully aware of the truth, and he has got the capacity to control everything by his very presence alone, therefore, he continued to create things in this world. In other words, creation keep on coming from him, even though he is not absorbed in anything. That is how creation has to be understood. Everything in this creation is manifestation from Krishna. So, so that is the important point. That is what that is saying. Ishavasyam idam sarvam. That verse before, if you have seen. Because you can see that this Jnana Margam and Karma Margam, the two processes Krishna has spoken in the Bhagavad Gita as well as in the Srimad Bhagavatam. You will notice one thing, that that difference between Jnana Margam and Karma Margam is very, definite, very clear definition. Why? While going through two different processes, the two different ways the personalities experience the truth. One through realization of the absolute truth through the knowledge process. He is going in one direction and all his realizations are different than the way the one who is following the process of Karma Margam. So that is what Krishna is, the Upanishad is going to say again, that Ishavasyam idam sarvam magrida kasya siddhanam. That is for the jnanam, jnana yoga, for one who is following that jnana margam. For him, Ishavasyam idam sarvam. And magrida kasya siddhanam. That is all for him. And but ordinary people who are ignorant, who are not in that state, and who wants to live long, the other one don't want to live. For them, whether live or death doesn't matter, because for them, body is not even a real thing. They have reached that state. Through Jnana Margam, they have reached that state. They don't care whether they live or die, because as far as they are concerned, this body has no reality. That is the Jnani state. But the second one type we talked about, they are those people who want to live in this world, which means there is avidya in the person still. So, because they are not in that state, Upanishad said, Kurvanne veha karmani, that second verse, has spoken like that. Karmanishta was spoken for them. Kurvanne veha karmani, he says that. So, akama yada jayame syad. So, that is why many mantram in the Vedam will say like this. You wanted to have a wife. And in the same way it is spoken in Brihadaranyaka Upanishad also, it says, Mana evasi atma vaga jaya. That for him, the mind is the soul and the words are the wife. These are the Upanishad statements like that. So, so in other words, a person who is ignorant and a person who has desires, that is the type of people who are in that second verse spoken. Remember that? Remember that second verse. The first verse is those who have finished with no desires, completely settled in the platform of the soul. For him, Ishavasyam idam sarvam, magrida kasya siddhanam, and yatkincha jagatyam jagat, tainatyaktyeva bhunjita. They are in that state. That's a first class state, or the jnani state. If he is not in that state, one who has desires in this world, who is still very much in the state of avidya. Avidya means he doesn't have that realization. That is avidya state. Who still thinks he has to live in this world, he has to execute his karma, he has got duties, responsibility and all other kind of things. That is avidya. From Shastram, that is avidya. So one who is in that state, he has to perform karma in this world. And for those who are to perform in this world, whole karmagandam is spoken in the Vedam. Vedam, karmagandam has come. Karmandam has come. So, So this ignorance and these desires, both of them is specified for those who are in the platform of karma. One who is the platform of jnanam, knowledge, for him they are not spoken. They are not spoken for them. It's spoken for those who are in the platform of karma. Platform of karma. And that karma, in seven different ways, it says, it creates the results also. Creates the results also. Annam, dadarsham, purnamasam, mind, word, pranan, gavyam. These are the things what is spoken in there. Though that is the statement here that sabhajega shukramamaya kramagayam avranam asnaviram shuddham abhavaviddham kavir manishi paribhu swayambhu yadha dhatyado arthan vyadadap ashwadibhyaha samabhyaha. So so karmanishta, jnananishta, two things Upanishads are saying here. Now, the karmam is meant for those who are in that platform, who have to execute karmam. And that karmam and the results are spoken in the karmakandam in depth. Karmakandam in the depth. In depth. So, and for them, because they have not come to the platform of the soul, for them, this world is a reality. This world is a reality. The world itself, they are considering it as the soul. World itself considers the soul. So, so earlier when they spoke about Asurya Namade Loga Andhena Tamasavrda, in that verse, it spoke very critically about ignorant people. Ignorant, who considered this ignorant? The people who are engaged in karma is not considered ignorant. But those who have neither accepted jnananishta nor accepted karmanishta, they are the ignorant ones. They have no nishta. Nishta means a steadiness in anything, not acting according to shastra. That is, nishta means acting according to the shastra. So they either don't have either jnananishta or they don't have any karmanishta. That is the third verse spoke about. He said, Asurya Namade Loga Andhena Tamasavrata. So such people, it says here, by saying that the Upanishad is criticizing them who have no spiritual training in either way, either Jnana Margam or Karma Margam. Because what will happen to them, it said there, isn't it? It was said, what will happen to them? That they will kill the soul. They will never experience the glories of the soul, the beauty of the soul. So, Shedashvara Upanishad also talks about the same thing, that that karmanishta means those who are in the path of karma, process of karma, and one who wants to live in this world engaged in karma, for their benefit, the next verse is spoken. The next verse is spoken. In other words, if you look at that second verse, where we saw, they are not in jnananishta, they are not in knowledge. But they have accepted the authority of the Vedas. That's a good thing. They have accepted the authority of the Vedas. They understand that they cannot realize that what the jnanis have realized. Ishavasamidam sarvam, yatkinja jagatyam jagat. They are not in that state. They have this problem that they have desires inside. They want to execute karma in this world and live in this world. And for them, the second verse was spoken. But also, Ishvapanishad said there, na lipyade nare. You should learn to do that karma without getting stuck with anything. You know what that means, isn't it? That means, after executing that karma, if that karma is not creating another karma vasana, then that is fine. But if that karma is creating another karma vasana again, then you're stuck. That is called sticking. Sticking to karma means that. Na lipyade nare. He can live without getting stuck. And he says, Upanishad says, you can keep on doing karma hundreds of years if you want. And you should desire to live as long as you want, it says there. Jnani doesn't have any desire to live longer. For him, whether you live or die doesn't matter because he is on the platform of the soul. But for the karma yogi, for him, for who is following the process of karma, he wants to live longer because he wants to, he has desires inside to execute karma. His vasanas have not gone away. He still has to perform karma. For such a person, what is explained here is that such a person, that when he is executing karma, the main principle behind that is kartrutva bhoktrutvam ragadvesham must go at the end after executing that karma. So out of this, if we create karma in such a way and it create more ragadvesham afterwards, then where is the question of freeing oneself from this world? There is no question, isn't it? We all say we are in spiritual life, but if it all ends up with more ragadvesham at the end, then where is the liberation? Where is the release from this? On the other hand, it's getting worse now. Ragadvesham is getting so bad that the instead of getting release from that, we're getting more implicated in that. It is so subtle that we don't take all these things into account when we deal in spiritual life. Spiritual life, we make it very much like a business management course or something like that. So this is what will happen. So, ragadvesha vimukteistu vishayan indriyaischaran. Krishna is saying that ragadvesham somehow we have to come out our own. We have to do work for that. And for that, Krishna has spoken the various ways how to release one from ragam, dvesham, attachment and aversion. How to free oneself from that. And he has spoken also how one should execute the karma in such a way that the karma vasana gets exhausted and little by little that raga dvesham goes away from inside. And he has also given certain other instructions in Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavadam how, if you are seeing raga dvesham, how to wipe it out from inside. Pranamaya dandavad bhumam asho chandala ghogaram. Whoever you see, if there is any raga dvesham happening, immediately remember that it is Krishna who is present there. So that you don't feel any kind of, that raga dvesham don't develop inside. Again inside. The best you can do is avoid that if possible, but if it happens like that, if you see that by seeing someone you feel that ragadvesham towards that person, inside you think that Krishna is present there. And that's why when Krishna says this to Uddhava, if it comes to that, Uddhava and Arjuna also having the same difficulty in that sense. Uddhava saying to Krishna that Sudushchara Mimam Manye. This yoga system what you have spoken to me is very difficult. Arjuna also said, Uddhava also said the same thing. It is then that Krishna says to Uddhava, Uddhava, if it is like that, praname dandavad bhumam ashva chandala ghokaram. Not only human beings, even if it is a dog or a cat, you pay your obeisances, he is saying. Here we are people who are making very calculated obeisances. Everything we measure first, where should we pay him or not, one. Number two, we'll make sure that he should notice that I'm paying obeisances to him. We're not paying obeisances for him to notice it. It's for our own purification. You pay the obeisances, isn't it? To another person or... So Krishna says, dog and cat is not going to recognize whether you pay obeisances or not. So why Krishna is asking us to pay obeisances? Because by seeing Krishna's presence in that way, in that living entity, that thought in our mind, the dog is a... A lower creature, cat is a lower creature, I am a superior creature, that thought will go. That is the idea behind it. Otherwise it's very difficult, isn't it, to get rid of that feeling of the dog or feeling of a cat. People have a different, that is inside us, and that is not easy to take it out from there. We will see, what to talk about dog and cat, even human beings we deal in that way. So it's so difficult to get rid of that from inside, that what Krishna calls it as in the Bhagavadam, you will see that this asuya tiraskaram. Tiraskaram means this kind of looking low at somebody in some way, and that kind of mood inside. And there's no other way, Krishna is saying. You pay your obeisances to the dog as soon as you see the dog. In the morning when you get up, if you have dog at home, pay your obeisances to the dog. First, what can you do? That's what Krishna is saying. That such a way that you have to wipe out that ignorance in us. The ignorance in us, to wipe it out, there is no other way. Krishna is saying like that. So that is for the jnanam. For the jnanamargam. That is the only way Krishna is saying like that. So, but for the person who has come to the karma process, karma, if he is jnananishtha, he will come to that realization, and then he will not see that there is it's a cat or it's a dog. Cat and dog, we are calling him a dog by its name. For the dog, what is he? We call him a dog. For dog, does he know that he's a dog or anything? He is another living entity, Krishna in another body. That's all it is. Krishna is present in another body, in a different kind of body. That's all it is. So that bodily identity and bodily realizations are very difficult to take out from inside. It's so deep inside, in all of us, isn't it? So therefore, this processes Krishna has spoken. So, ragadvesham is there in everyone, in different ways. Attachment to something, aversion to something. So, Krishna says first to remove that, ragadvesham. But, more difficult is that kartrutva. More the difficult than anything else is that kartrutva. Because kartrutva and ahankaram goes together. Who is taking this kartrutva? Where is it coming from? Ahankaram. So, unless that ahankaram, false ego is completely wiped out, kartrutvam won't go. Because if you try to forcefully get rid of kartrutvam, ahankaram won't allow that. From inside, ahankaram won't allow that to happen. Ahankaram will say, completely will mislead you in another direction. Saying that if you start going that route, first thing what ahankaram will tell you is that if you don't take the ownership for that, you're going to suffer. You will pay for it. And that is what will first thing will happen. So, ahankaram is like that. The nature of the ahankaram is like that. So, here, those who want to engage in karma and live in the process of karma and want to get the release, this is the next verse in the Ishvaparishad. Andham tamah pravishandiye avidya mupasade tado bhuye ivade tamo ya uvidyayam retaha. Andhandama pravishandi ye vidya ye avidyam upasade tado bhuya ivade tamoya uvidyayam ratam. Andham tama pravishandi ye avidyayam upasade. Andham tama pravishandi ye avidyayam upasade. Upanishad is saying, ye those avidyam. Avidya means what is not vidya, what is not knowledge. Which means karma. Karma is avidya. This tendency for karma in us means it's avidya. It's avidya that is working through karma. Avidya is working through karma. Isn't it? Avidya kama karma bhi, it says. Where? Kundi Devi says this. Karma has come from avidya. Where else karma is coming from? If you look into Kundi's study, Kundi's glorifications of Krishna, you will say, that avidya kama karma bhi, there is a statement there, Kunti Devi is saying. From avidya comes desires and desires comes action. From avidya, ignorance comes desires and from desires comes action. That is the sequence. So that's why it's avidya kama karma bhi. So that avidya or karma, in other words, upasate, one who is serving that, such people, andham tamaha. Andham tamaha. They will always remain in the darkness, pravishandi. Then, on the other hand, vidyayam, those who have got, tado bhuye ivade tamo ya uvidyayam redaha. Those who are absorbed in the knowledge, devadadi jnanam, in other words, or the knowledge of the devadas, or worship the demigods, or who are in the path of the knowledge, they have that tataha bhuya iva tama pravishandi. They cross over that darkness but they get into deeper darkness. This is another nice way of saying. After saying first, Upanishads are always like that. When you read any Upanishad verse, you got to put a lot of effort to get to understand that what this Upanishad verse is saying. It's not straightforward, in other words, what we say. Like in the like when we read, everything very explained, very clearly, written straightforward, where you can capture that. The Upanishad's way of speaking is like that. The reason is that Krishna is saying that parokshavado vedoyam balanam anishasanam. That everything what is spoken paroksham, indirect way, Krishna likes it that way. Everything is spoken Parochanja mama priyam. Speaking like this is very dear to Krishna. Krishna likes it that way. Parochanja mama priyam. Why he likes it like that? Because Krishna is saying that those who wants to understand the truth, they will take the effort to understand the truth. Those who don't want to understand the truth, they will not. They will stay away from this. So, vidyayam radhate, he says here, that they will get into tado bhuye ivade tamo ya vidyayam radhaha. So, those who are practicing avidya, those who are practicing avidya, they will go into darkness. But those who are practicing vidya, they will go into higher darkness. That is the statement. If you read the answer, the translation, what's mentioned in the verse 9. Andham dhamma praveshyanti ye avidyam upasate tado bhuya ivade tamo ya yuvidyavnam ratha. Those who engage in the culture of mentioned activities shall enter into the darkest region of ignorance. Worse still are those engaged in the culture of so-called knowledge. Those who engage in the culture of mentioned activities shall enter into the darkest region of ignorance. Worse still are those engaged in the culture of so-called knowledge. So-called knowledge. So, here, looking at it, that antham tama pravishyandi. Avidya means what? What is not vidya? What is not vidya? Which means karma. Karma is a block for knowledge. Karma is a block for knowledge. So, one who is serving avidya, one who is performing service to avidya, means those who are engaged in Agnihotram and other karma based on the, in Vedam, the karma when it is referred to, it is the karmakandam. That is the karma what they were talking about. They don't refer to all the karma what we are doing. This, from the Vedic point of view, everything what we do now is completely known as vikarma. It's vigarma. It's not even categorized as a authorized version of lifestyle. Like all these factories and stock markets and hotels and restaurants and banking business, all these kind of things is not allowed from the point of view of the Vedas because it creates its own effect on us on a subtle level, isn't it? You can see that in every day. That how the influence of the modern society in our consciousness, how it affects us in every different way. So that's not accepted. But karmakandam is the version of the karmam in the Vedam. So that includes that for the Brahmana it is Agnihotram, Vaishudevam. And like that they have a lot of things to do every day. That's their karmam. Basically it's all referring to Brahmana's level it is spoken. So those who perform that kind of karmam, those kind of karma, because what they are performing in very rigorously, religiously all that time, they will eventually go down. Why they will go down? Because their intention while they are executing that, they are still not looking for self-realization. That is the problem. Because they are not looking for the knowledge of the soul, whatever they may do now, even though it is very much based on the injunctions of the Vedas and they are very much within the framework of the Vedic karmakandam, still because the goal is not spiritual or self-realization, that is still considered to be avidya. That's considered to be avidya. So, and other people, they have completely given up any kind of karma, and and they take into worship of the deities or devadadi jnanam. Devadadi jnanam means that they get into deity worship and things like that, and at the same time they have completely ignored these karma also, what they are supposed to do, because karmakandam instructs certain karma for everybody, isn't it? Traivarnikas, brahmana, kshatriya, vaishya have a certain duties to perform, shudras have certain things to perform. They have ignored all that and completely rejected everything, and they are only interested in the worship of the truth for their own material existence. In other words, for there they will have a higher degradation than the first one. Both of them are not keeping the goal as self-realization. Both these category, both of them. So, in other words, while executing this devadajnanam, devadajnanam means this knowledge of the worship, process of worship, as well as the agnihotra karma, all the karma that is associated with this should be performed at the same time, should be performed simultaneously. In other words, those who are busy with the karma, they should execute their karma along with this process of worship of the deities as well, devadadi jnana, with the knowledge of the all the devadas. Devadas means practically what Krishna says there, that the in the creation now various demigods are present in the creation, isn't it? So all these demigods are worshipable for a human point of view, from human society. Now, all this is based on Varnashrama Dharma. That also you have to take into account. Varnashrama Dharma and strictly following all the Vedic injunctions. Of course, in today's world, all this has any relevance at all, because it's not possible to expect this in the modern society anywhere in the world. But what it says is, in these verses, what Upanishads are saying is that whatever karma they are executing, say for Brahmanas who are executing the Vaidhya karma, like I mentioned about this Agnishtomam, Agnihotram, and similarly this Dashapurnam Asam, they have so many rituals to perform, Brahmanas have to perform. If they get only stuck with those rituals, without any knowledge of the Devadas present behind them, just doing it mechanically on that basis, that is not good enough. That's what it's saying here. And so here, yasmin sarvani bhudani almayivabhud vijanada tatrako moha ka shoha egattum anivashyada. So one who knows that the soul is present everywhere in everything, and the whole world is permeated with the soul, and one who is in that state, he cannot link the soul with any karma in this world. It is not possible to link with any karma or with any other knowledge in this world. And intelligent person, when he has come to that platform, he will not link his realizations with either with any of these Vedic injunctions. He will move away from that, because they were necessary at a particular state. Only then it was necessary to have them. So in other words, when one has Brahmajnanam or knowledge of Brahman or self-realization has happened to him, if you say to him that you have to execute karma in this world or any other kind of knowledge in relationship with the karma, he will not accept that. So andham tama pravishyandi, that means andham tama pravishyandi, in that mantra, jnanam and karma, both knowledge and the actions, only one who is performing one of them, he says andham tama. If you look into that verse, you will see andham tama pravishyandi e avidya upasade tado bhuye ivade tamo ya u vidyayam rataha. He says here that in the higher platform of the knowledge of the soul, he would not be attracted by this karma anymore. But those who have fallen into the karmam state, anandama pravishanti, if he is executing his karmam without knowledge of the truth, he will also won't make any progress. So, so this process of karmagandam is quite a complex one. If you look into Prabhupada's commentary on that verse, you will see there, Prabhupada mentions there that the Anandama pravishanti ye vidyam upasade tado bhuye ivede tamo ya yu vidyayam rataham. He says, mantra offers a comparative study of vidya and avidya. Avidya or ignorance is undoubtedly dangerous, but vidya or knowledge is even more dangerous when mistaken or misguided. This mantra of Upanishad is more applicable today than at any time in the past. Modern civilization has advanced considerably in the field of mass education, but the result is that people are more unhappy than ever before because of the stress placed on material advancement to the exclusion of the most important part of life, the spiritual aspect. As far as Vidya is concerned, the first mantra has explained very clearly that the Supreme Lord is the proprietor of everything and that forgetfulness of this fact is ignorance. The more a man forgets this fact of life, the more he is in darkness. In view of this, a godlike civilization directed towards the so-called advancement of education is more dangerous than a civilization in which the masses of people are less educated. Quite opposite to what everybody tells us. Government says we have to have more universities. All over the world you go, they want to open more universities. Everybody should go to college. Everybody should get a degree. Everybody should look for a job. Everybody should live working in this world. But you can see, Upanishad is telling us, if you are educated, you are a bigger burden in this world than if you are not educated. If you are educated, you become a bigger burden. So, he says here, that's what Prabhupada is saying. He has put it in a very polished way, in a nice way, saying that one who is educated more, that he causes more problem in this world. You can see that also. It is the educated one who causes more trouble in this world, not the uneducated one. Uneducated one, he will live in the forest somewhere. He'll probably go out in the morning hunting some animal and kill the animal probably and bring his food and he'll eat and stay quietly there. But the educated one, his mind is working all the time. How to exploit the world, how to exploit others. And this is going on, isn't it? You can see that right in this world. That the educated people cause more problems than the uneducated ones. So that's what Prabhupada is saying here. The man forgets this fact of life, the more he is in darkness. In view of this, a godlike civilization directed toward the so-called advancement of education is more dangerous than a civilization in which the masses of people are less educated. So education, when it comes to education, if you look into all the great realized souls, they were not educated. None of them were educated. Many of them didn't even know how to write letters, how to write even. They didn't know. But they were realized the truth. Nirakshara Kutshi they were called. They didn't know even alphabets properly. But they were realized the truth. And on the other hand, the so-called educated man, he causes the havoc in the whole world all the time. So, out of the three classes of men, Karmi, Jnani and Yogi, the Karmis are those who are engaged in the activities of sense gratification. Modern civilization is 99.9% of the people are engaged in the activities of sense gratification under the flags of industrialism, economic development, altruism, political activities and so on. All these activities are more or less based on satisfaction of the senses to the exclusion of the kind of God consciousness described in the first mantra. So practically you can see that among them, you can see 99.9, Prabhupada is saying, percent of people in this world are out of it, completely out of it. They don't fall into any of, only one verse in Ishwabhanishad touches them. Asurya namade loga antena tamasavrda. Out of the 18 mantras, they have to only study one mantra there. That's only when that applies to them. Other 17 mantra they don't have to read it. Because it doesn't apply to them anyway. So the only mantra that controls them is Asurya Amade Loga Andhena Tamasavrata. Isn't it? So here also, but this mantra, what Krishna is talking, sorry, Upanishads is saying here, is considering those who are following the Karmakandam, and there also there is these differences between the people. And so there's a very long purport on that. Prabhupada's main intention of saying all these things was directly because he has to tell us about this godless civilization first before talking about Vedas and or the authority of the Vedas. All those things was not the goal. Practically, you can see the whole purport is centered around the present civilization, directed towards the present civilization. So in the Acharya's commentary, you will see completely different. There it is spoken about those who are following the Karmakandam, and among them how different people have acted in the different ways. So Vidyam tada arohandi and Vidya Devalogaha Natra Darshana Indi Karmana Pidralogaha. That means those who are performing Karmakandam also, among them there are people, they are performing Karmakandam with the idea of going to heavenly planets. And some of them with the idea of going to Pitralokam also. So they are also not looking for self-realization. Karmakandam is meant for to develop purification inside in such a way that the knowledge of the self will get in. That when spoken about the spiritual knowledge, it will have its effect. That is the idea behind Karmakandam. Karmakandam is not for going to heavenly planets and to enjoy there. That is a bonus that's given in order that people will perform in Karmakandam. Those people who have this propensity for performing karma. In order to get that people to do karma so that they don't break the law, to keep them in a disciplined way, Karmakandam was given. That is the purpose of Karmakandam. Because karma vasana is there in everyone. When we come to this world, we have brought that with us, this baggage at the back, karma vasana. So as soon as you tell someone, look, don't perform any karma, be situated on the platform of the soul, there won't be many customers in this world. 99.9% will, the tendency will be for performing karma, isn't it? Will be for performing karma. So naturally, knowing this, the sages have given us this Karmakandam. At least execute the karma in such a way within a particular framework. That is Karmakandam. That framework is Karmakandam. So that we won't go and do all kinds of other hellish things in this world and make the life hell, what we have done now, more or less, in that way. So therefore, Karmakandam was spoken. But the problem with Karmakandam is, when executing Karmakandam, people have this impression also, in Karmakandam, to encourage people to engage in Karmakandam, lot of results are given there. What will happen if you perform this sacrifice? Agnishtamam, Adhiratram, Vajapayam, Rajasuyam, all different things, hundreds of them. And if you have this desire, you perform this sacrifice. If you have this desire, you perform this sacrifice. Like Putragameshti, for example. Dasharatha performed Putragameshti Yagam, isn't it? Putragameshti, why? Because Dasharatha wanted to have children. So he didn't have children, so Putragameshti was performed. So in this way, rather than going for the modern scientific process of creating progeny, definitely Putragameshti is a better system, is it not? This what science is offering to us today, suppose you have a person has no possibility of having children, a couple have no possibility of children. The modern option, is that better or Putragameshti is better? You can definitely see Putragameshti is more authorized by the Shastram. Without creating any sinful way, you can have the child if you still want to have a child in that sense. So in this way, to fulfill all our desires in this world, there are sacrifices available for one. If one that is the way we are meant to live. Krishna says that in the ஏதான் பாவயதானேன தே தேவா பாவயந்துவா பரஸ்பரம் பாவயந்த ஸ்ரேய பரமவாப்சியதா. யூ வில் சி தட் வேர்ட்ஸ் இன் தி பகவத்கீதா. மியூச்சுவலி யூ பர்ஃபார்ம் தி சாக்ரிஃபைசஸ், டெமிகாட்ஸ் வில் ப்ரொவைட் யூ வித் ஆல் யுவர் டிசையர்ஸ் ஃபுல்ஃபில். பை பர்ஃபார்மிங் சாக்ரிஃபைசஸ் யூ ப்ளீஸ் த டெமிகாட்ஸ், இன் ரிட்டர்ன் டெமிகாட்ஸ் வில் கிவ் யூ தி ரிசல்ட்ஸ் ஆல்சோ. தட் இஸ் வாட் கிருஷ்ணா இஸ் சேயிங் தேர். ஸோ கோஆப்ரேட் மியூச்சுவலி அண்ட் லிவ் பீஸ்ஃபுல்லி இன் திஸ் வேர்ல்ட். திஸ் இஸ் கிருஷ்ணாஸ் இன்ஸ்ட்ரக்ஷன்ஸ். But what we have done, we have not accepted Karmakandam anymore. Karmakandam is completely rejected. And, but Karmakandam only refers to those who follow that discipline, otherwise not. We go and do all kinds of vikarmam and say we are following Karmakandam, that is not acceptable. But Karmakandam's goal is not these results. Just like going to heavenly planets is one of the things. That Prachina Brahi story in the Bhagavatam. He was performing one after the other sacrifices. And when Narada Maharshi came to see him, Prachina Brahi is telling him, Maharshi, do you know this is my 100th or 150th sacrifice I am going to perform? He was very proud of that. And he was thinking after this, he will be going to the heavenly planets to enjoy and have a great life there. But Narada Maharshi removed his ignorance by talking to him about the soul. That is what that Puranjanobhakhyanam story in the Bhagavatam comes from there. So, idea is that by performing Karmakandam, you get pure, purified inside, and your desires go away through this karma. All the desires goes away. And when the inside is pure, if you come into contact with a saintly personality, he will instruct him on the knowledge of the soul, and he will get spiritual realization. That's the purpose behind it. But because Karmakandam has this strong attraction for heavenly planets, going to heavenly planets and enjoying there, many people will engage in Karmakandam purely for that purpose rather than self-realization. So for them, so Vidyaya Devalokaha, by knowledge of Karmakandam, they want to go to the heavenly planets. Natatra Dakshinayandi Karmana Pitralokaha. Now, those who cannot go to heavenly planets through the performance of sacrifices, they will still think that let me do the karmam in such a way, at least I go to Pitralokam. So, those who at least stay in the Karmakandam through Devalokam or through karmam to Pitralokam, even they are safer. Rather than those who are performing hellish activities in this, demonic activities in this world, without any care, any consideration for any of the spiritual instructions from the Shastram. So, because even they are following Shastram, isn't it? At least even those who are performing the Karmakandam, following Karmakandam and going to Devalokam or heavenly planets, or even if they are not capable of performing sacrifices and going to heavenly planets, at least they will go to Pitralokam. And stay there. But still they are in the framework of the Shastram. So, but while executing this, Upanishad is saying that if he doesn't have that knowledge as the goal, now here you can see the two kinds of people. One who is executing the Karmakandam with the intention of going to heavenly planets. Another one is not able to execute the Karmakandam. He is executing karmam in this world and go to Pitralokam. What this verse is saying is that those who execute the Karmakandam and trying to go to Devalokam, heavenly planets, is in a greater darkness, those who are executing karmam and going to Pitralokam. Why? They have been given a higher position. Because those who execute the Karmakandam and go to heavenly planets are Brahmanas. And if they don't make their goal of life a self-realization and execute Karmakandam, they are doing a greater offense than those who are executing, who are not qualified for Karmakandam, but do perform karmam in this world within the framework of Varnashram and go to Pitralokam. This is what that means. Is that clear? Yeah. So, Karmakandam is the, this is talking about those who are following the Karmakandam. In Karmakandam we have, once again, Karmakandam, there is these two possibility. One who will execute Karmakandam and go to the heavenly planets. And those others who cannot execute Karmakandam, who are not qualified for that. Executing Karmakandam is also not easy. You have to have that. Only Prajina Barhis and Yudhishthira Maharaj and others can do that. Ordinary people, what will they do? Karmakandam. They will karma only. What they have got is living from hand to mouth every day. What Karmakandam can they do? So their position is like that. But out of these two, that's what that verse is saying. The first group is in a deeper avidya, than he will get into more trouble than the second type. The second character. Tadho bhuye ivade tamo ya uvidyayam radaha. That andham dhamma praveshindi avidya upasade. The first one is also avidya. It is avidya in them. That's why they are performing karmakandam to go to the heavenly planets. That's one kind of avidya. That's the kind of avidya. Tadobhuya ivade tamo ya uvidyayam radaha. So here you can see that their understanding, the deeper level, the darkness in them, the ignorance in them is much more deeper level. That they have, after given a chance, they have got a much more better opportunity. That in that state they have, if they cultivate the knowledge of the soul and self-realization as the goal, then they can get over it easily. They can come to perfection easily. But they are rejecting that opportunity. Rather, they are accepting the choice of going to heavenly planets to enjoy. And that is what is condemned in this verse. That's what is condemned in this verse. So, what is the time? Yeah, it's 3:48. So we'll stop for 10 minutes, isn't it?